This is Mark chapter 7, verses 14 to 23, found on page 1010 in the Church Bible, top right-hand column. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person."
Hi, great. Do keep that bit of the Bible open, because we're going to look at that a bit more over the next few minutes. But I want to start by telling you a story. Each month, as a church, we gather to pray about what's coming up. We long for a better world. We believe God can make a real difference in people's lives. We need God's help in everything we do. And so here we all were, sat around in the church, a bit like we are this morning. And we've got a list of everything that's happening in January at St. Matthew's. Lots of exciting things going on. And there it was in the middle of the screen, this morning's service, "What's wrong with the world?" And right there, looking like the answer to that question, "What's wrong with the world?" John Percival is. Well, I don't think it was meant to be a subtle hint from the staff, but where do we start with this question? I mean, how long have you got, in one sense? I mean, if we just started cataloguing all the things that each one of us have experienced that's wrong with the world, we'd probably not even make it a tenth of the way around the room before lunchtime. And I'm assuming that we'd all quite like to get away for lunch. Though I should say I'm happy to stay around and chat with anyone who'd like to after the service is finished. So please, if you've got questions, do come and find me later. Now, one way we could get into this question would be to rewind a couple of hundred years. So go back to 1820, before the time when streaming video was invented, before TV, before electricity, before sewers and sanitation, before modern medicine and the NHS. A time when life expectancies were much lower, where diet was limited, where travel was rare, where the slave trade was in full swing, where women couldn't vote, where you had to be a Church of England Christian just to go to university. In that perspective, we've got a lot to be thankful for in 2020. We're so blessed in 21st century Cambridge, aren't we? In a whole range of ways. We enjoy freedoms and technology and luxuries that would have been unimaginable 200 years ago. Perhaps as we came here in the sunshine this morning, there is so much that is good and beautiful about this world today. Human creativity and ingenuity and knowledge are on display everywhere we look. But that's not really our focus for today. Our focus today is what's wrong with the world as we look at it at the start of 2020. And as we've become more connected than ever with the world, with the internet, we're more deeply aware of the huge range of problems confronting us. So I wonder, what would you say is wrong with the world? There's ecological problems, aren't they? They loom large on the news. Fires, famines, floods all around the world. Extinction Rebellion are staging various protests around Cambridge. They say, I got this from their website, "We are facing an unprecedented global climate emergency. The government has failed to protect us. To survive, it's going to take everything we've got." So human-driven climate change threatens biodiversity and the sustainability of life on this planet. Some of the damage being done is irreversible. And of course, it's those who are most vulnerable who are least able to bring about change. What's wrong with the world? Ecological problems are huge. And in many ways, they're really a symptom of human activity. So actually, we might want to point at the political problems in this world. 2020 was barely a few days old, was it, before people were talking about World War III in the Middle East. Tensions simmer away between various competing interests and historical alignments. Various parts of Africa and South America lack much of a functioning government. Again, those who suffer the most are the weakest. What's wrong with the world? Disease and death because of a lack of access to healthcare. Inequality and grinding poverty leave people hopeless and helpless. Even in the West, more people are dependent on food banks than ever before. Uncertainties around Brexit confront us all. Why can't we have a political system that really works for everyone? Perhaps what's wrong with the world is political. Others point to the root of the problem being financial. Multinational corporations crush local independent competitors and escape taxes. Capitalism forces people to do more and more work for less and less reward. Job security is just not there as high street names shut their doors and ordinary people find themselves out of work while the big bosses seem to walk away with a golden handshake despite their failures. All of it seems to be driven by greed. In fact, we've got a whole industry designed to promote greed. The advertising industry just exists to make us feel unhappy about ourselves so that we'll go out and buy their products. We're carefully curated consumers hooked on an endless stream of social media adverts. Money makes the world go round, and many would say that's what's wrong with the world. The problem is financial. Now, at some level, all of these problems, ecological, political, financial, They're sort of out there. They're the system. They're them. But others might look at the world and suggest that the problem is more personal. Not just broken systems, but individuals. This comes out in several ways. Some point to ignorance being the root of the problem. If only we were better educated, better informed, then we'd make better decisions. All we need to do is to help people understand the true state of the world. I doubt there are many today who think straightforward education is the answer, but more likely people would point today towards prejudice and discrimination. The problem is people's attitudes. The solution, well, it's to expose people with those attitudes to ridicule and shame until they realise the error of their ways. Perhaps on social media or the mainstream media, we shut down their views until they're made into a safe and sanitised member of modern society. And some would say that what we're doing here this morning is actually part of the problem. The greatest source of bigoted views, they might say, is religion. Certainly if you asked famous atheists like Richard Dawkins what's wrong with the world, they're going to have to say something about superstitious religions that just seem to generate hatred and conflict. So is that what's wrong with the world? Personal, it's people. Now, I know that I've painted quite a few of those things in broad brushstrokes, along with a splash of caricature for good measure. But I wonder, what do you think is wrong with the world? There's no shortage of things to choose from, are there? Well, in order to get a Christian perspective on this question, I want to take us back to Jesus. As a Christian, I believe he speaks with a unique authority, because he is God in flesh. God come to live among us. He's a voice, as it were, coming from the outside, helping us to see reality as it really is. So we're going back to that Bible passage from Mark chapter 7, Mark's account of Jesus' life that we read earlier. And there we're going to see that Jesus points to a deadly problem deep within each of us. So we join the events, you'll notice we jumped in halfway through Mark's account of Jesus' life, we join the events as Jesus is in a heated debate about the religious leaders of his day. They're quibbling over their own little rules about cleanliness and hand washing and things like that, while they're missing out on the big picture. This isn't about hygiene, it's about a whole host of little rules that they've made up because they thought that God would be more impressed by their little rules. They think that the problem with humanity is one that's out there. If they can keep all the bad things out there, then it'll all work out okay in here. All the bad stuff out there is what's wrong with the world. In here is basically clean and good, they're thinking. So the best way to live, they say, is to make sure that all the bad stuff stays out there. But Jesus knows that it's not quite like that. Listen to what happens as I read from verse 14, so the top of the page there. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he'd left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing enters a person from outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. So do you see what Jesus is doing here? He's giving a basic biology lesson. I'm sure we all remember those diagrams from school. Food goes into the mouth, through the digestive system, and out the other end. It doesn't affect our basic identity, our basic nature. One of our godchildren is growing up in Africa, and grasshoppers are quite a delicacy there. I always squirm a bit inside at the thought of her tucking into grasshoppers. I guess it's not quite as bad as some of the things that get put into those bush tucker trials on I'm a Celebrity. Have you watched any of those on TV? Fish eyes, crickets, cockroaches, witchetty grubs, various other unspeakable things. But it's all basically the same, isn't it? In at one end, out at the other. It doesn't change our basic identity and nature. It's actually what comes out that's the real problem. You see, for Jesus, our hearts are a way of describing the place where all of our thoughts and desires and actions start. And what do we see the human heart producing? Well, it's not a pretty picture that Jesus paints, is it? In verse 20, have a look down with me, that third paragraph there. Jesus went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it's from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside and defile a person." So here's the real problem, according to Jesus. It's not out there. It's not at root ecological or political or financial. It's personal. It's deep down in our hearts, and it shows itself in all sorts of ugly ways. I'm sure we've all seen the effects of these sorts of things, haven't we? Folly, decisions that are so obviously self-destructive, arrogance, looking down at others, slander, making mischief in the office, envy, tearing friendships apart, lewdness, joking about things that should be beautiful and precious, deceit, hiding the truth, malice, trying to trip others up, greed, grabbing more than a fair share, adultery, tearing apart families. It's horrible when we're on the receiving end of these things. But also, when we're honest with ourselves, we do actually do some of these things. We can see this in ourselves. And why is it? I mean, we can look at the results and see how destructive and damaging it all is. And yet we keep on doing it. I keep on living like this. Where does it come from? Well, Jesus says it comes from our hearts. They're the source of all the evil thoughts that overflow into the evil behavior and words that we produce. Whether it's a minor disagreement or a world war, all our conflicts can be traced back to the evil of the human heart. No amount of education or legislation can change it. No amount of cosmetics can hide it away. The basic problem is that our hearts are bent on doing wrong, on being self-serving, on pursuing our own appetites and desires. God doesn't get a look in. Other people are a means to an end. And usually short-term gain trumps long-term consequences. So what's wrong with the world? Jesus points to a deadly problem deep within each of us. As someone once said, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Quite some time ago, the Times newspaper apparently sent out an inquiry to famous authors. It was asking the question, what's wrong with the world today? The well-known Christian author G.K. Chesterton had written a book on this very subject. What's wrong with the world today? Well, Chesterton responded simply, "Dear sir, I am." So perhaps there's more to that prayer meeting slide than it first seemed. What's wrong with the world? John Percival. And indeed, each one of us here. It feels a bit uncomfortable to think this way, doesn't it? I think it's a bit like a doctor giving a painful and serious diagnosis. But when we stop and think about it, it rings true to our experience. Just think about raising children. I'm sure we've all seen it. You don't have to teach a toddler to snatch a toy, do you? They just know how to do it. They know how to throw an almighty tantrum when they don't get their own way. They're selfish right from the start. We all are. Gradually, we might help them to become a bit more civilized and to keep that tantrum inside a bit better. But if we're all left to our own devices, what might that look like? I don't know if the GCSE English still has got Lord of the Flies as a set text. I remember studying that when I was a teenager. Horrible picture of what happens when a group of schoolboys are stranded on a desert island. It descends into violence and bitter hatred. It's what we're like, all of us, deep down. We might paint a civilized veneer to cover up the worst of it, but God still sees our hearts. What's wrong with the world? Jesus points to a deadly problem deep within each of us. It's what the Bible calls sin. We've rejected God. That relationship is broken. And so our hearts, they just chase after whatever we fancy. And I think sin is one of the few Christian doctrines that can be empirically proven. I might not be able to prove to you that Jesus is God or that he rose from the dead, although there's good basis in the historical documents in the Bible for both those claims. But what we can see from observations all around the world and all down through history is that every human being has the same heart orientation. It's a problem deep within each of us. And why is it such a problem? Can't we just sort of live with it, try and minimize it and muddle on through? Why does Jesus say that it's deadly? Well, here's the thing. We will be held to account. Wrong will be dealt with. God is a God of justice. Jesus puts it very starkly like this a bit later on in Mark's gospel. He says this, "If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched." Jesus tells us that it's worth doing almost anything to avoid this place he calls hell. Now, he's exaggerating here about self-harm. You don't see Christians walking around with just one eye, because actually dealing with our eyes isn't the problem. It's our hearts. He's exaggerating to make a very serious point. We should do anything to escape the destiny of hell. That's why the problem of our hearts is so big. It's a deadly disease, consigning us to a fate worse than death. It's a whole lot worse than the apocalyptic scenarios predicted by climate change. It's worse than a government led by, insert your chosen politician here. It's worse than World War III. What's wrong with the world? Well, Jesus points to this deadly problem deep within each of us. But before we finish, I want to try and share something of the good news that Jesus brings as well. It'll be pretty bleak just to leave things here. So Jesus is like a doctor who gives a distressing diagnosis, but also Jesus provides the only effective solution. A bit like a doctor who's come for people who know how much they need his help. And I hope that after our exploration of what Jesus says in Mark 7, we're beginning to see the scale of the problem that we face. But listen to what Jesus also said. Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." We're just the sort of people that Jesus came for. Jesus came for people who know that they're sick, who know they're part of the problem, who know that we're sinners. And he came to bring healing, to bring salvation, to change us from the inside out. And he does that, as Mark's account goes on to show, through his death, where he takes all of our sin onto himself. He pays for it all. He wipes it away And then he comes back to life again 3 days later to open up the way to eternal life. Not to hell, but to heaven. And he's alive today, helping people to find God, to find peace, to find hope, to find the power to change. Nothing else can deal with our sin and bring us back to God. Nothing else can put love into our hearts and change us from the inside out. Jesus provides the only effective solution. In the 20th century, we tried war to defeat evil, and education to eradicate ignorance, and aid to alleviate poverty, and legislation to uphold good society. But as we look around our world in 2020, it doesn't look like it's worked. In fact, people look more angry, more discontent, more anxious, more fearful than ever before. What we need is the love of Jesus in our hearts and the power of God's Spirit in our lives. Now, it's not an instant fix, but many true Christians around this room, around the world, can testify to the real difference it makes day by day, year by year. We're not perfect, but we know the one who is. And what's wrong with the world forces us towards another question. What would a right world look like? As we look out on the decade ahead, what is the world we all want? Friendship, peace, productivity, health, love, beauty, truth. Jesus is the ultimate solution to all those things and more. Not all at once, but eventually when he returns to make everything new, he'll give us that world that we all want, a perfect new world. Jesus provides the only effective solution. In a moment, the musicians are going to come back up to play a piece to give us a bit of time to reflect on some of the things that we've been thinking about this morning. There's lots to chew on there. I'm aware of that. After they've played us a song, we can just sit and listen to them and think. I'm going to come back up and say a few things that you might like to do if you want to take things further. There's no pressure, but this might be just the right time to invite Jesus into your heart, into your life.